If you have to ask who that is, you've been living under a rock. Crawl out from under your rock and get used to the sound. That was John Coltrane and the band of incredible luminaries of jazz with Blue Train. This is the title track of Coltrane's 1957 album. Would you believe that? He's, of course, on tenor sax, Lee Morgan on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Kenny Drew on piano, and Paul Chambers on bass. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yutrice Lead, and I want to see whether you have been putting things together in your head and whether you're coming up okay in terms of reading the scenario pretty well, pretty on point with it. So why don't I get to the question for today? Yeah, I think I'll do that. So the question I'd like to ask you today is whether Trump's aggressive parallel presidency strategies and tactics are gaining ground for him against Biden. Now, just to help you recall, you may recall that some time ago, a couple of months ago at least, I talked about the fact that Trump will basically create a parallel presidency, and exactly that, he did that. He has been the parallel president of the United States ever since Biden took office. And of course, that's a deliberate act of provocation, but it also betrays in Trump an incredible need to hold on to power and a fear, I guess I could use that word, a fear of dissolving into the background. He doesn't want to do that. He has all kinds of reasons why he should remain prominent, not only in the minds of Americans, but in people all over the world, minds of people all over the world. So Trump has created this parallel presidency. We talked about that. And it should please you to know that we were right. We were right. And he continues to build a parallel presidency. First of all, he established a parallel White House, and that was at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. He has since removed himself from there because the reception he got was not all that great. People didn't want him there. But he was able to wrangle some legal room to remain there as and to maintain Mar-a-Lago as his alternate White House. This guy's amazing. And he also began to quote appoint. Now, I have to be careful. He didn't appoint people because he knows he has no further appointing power. But in a manner of speaking, he did appoint, and he is still continuing to appoint people to specific tasks, whether as advisors or as shadow cabinet members. He still continues on that track. Of course, it's very annoying, and there may even be legal questions about whether a former president can essentially do something like this, which is an open act of provocation. But also, it raises the question as to whether Trump's actions are tantamount to a direct threat to the current president. He's still receiving people from different parts of the world who will come to visit. There is a big dinner planned for him, just like a state dinner is being planned. And he has moved to his summer residence in Bedminster, New Jersey, where he is, that is his command post for the moment, for the summer. And he continues to run an operation, just as if he were still president, except, of course, he's taking care of his own business. And it's very, you know, you could say it was rude. It's very unusual. It's very unorthodox. It should not be the case, but it is the case, it appears. And he has one more reason to justify the way he's operating. He is a political official, after all. He heads up the Republican Party, which he commandeered. He just took it over. And in that capacity, as a head of a party, he's taking advantage of what he considers his rights and privileges. He's continuing. He's not threatening Joe Biden with anything. He's just doing his own thing as the head of a major political party of the United States. And he's not interrupting anything. He's just minding his own business. But of course, we see that the insurrection, and we're now learning that, in fact, people connected to Trump and the Trump administration were, in fact, involved, it appears, in staging that insurrection, which was all about embarrassing and threatening and making life impossible for the new president and making it clear that he's not going anywhere. He could do whatever he wants to do. And as you can see, there has been no lawsuit. There has been no formal challenge. There has been no statement expressing outrage that Trump chooses to operate this way. And Trump, like, you know, the scuzz that he is, continues to act as if he's not doing anything. He's just, you know, he's just picking up the pieces and trying to hold his political end together. But we need to talk about that because it is, in fact, at least the way I see it, I think it has to do with a kind of conduct that should not occur. And that the openness of the conduct by the former president, the former guy, Trump has no reason to do these things. These are acts of provocation. And they threaten, really, the democratic process, small d. They threaten the democratic process. And apparently, there isn't much being done about it. And maybe that's also a ploy, because if the Democrats were to raise any problems about it, then they would be seen as namby-pamby Democrats. What are you scared of? I'm doing my thing. I'm not bothering with you. I'm Donald Trump, the head of the Republican Party, and I'm proceeding to fulfill my duties in that capacity. So I don't understand what all this hubbub is about. So I'm going to ask you, First, do you think these are aggressive tactics and strategies that Trump is employing to get under the skin of Joe Biden and to undermine his administration? And do you think that even so, is he gaining ground with these tactics? Is he gaining political ground? And you would be able to tell us, in your view, in what ways do you think Trump is gaining ground by implementing these aggressive tactics to totally undermine Joe Biden? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I want you to put on your thinking cap today and look at it objectively, analytically, and see where it is that Donald Trump actually intends to take this conduct and behavior, why it is that the Democrats are doing very little about it, or anybody else. I mean, is this something that should have been allowed? If it is allowable, how come it hasn't been done before? And should something be done about it now? Because literally, it sows, apart from everything else, it sows the seeds of confusion and discord and disarray. It's no different from what any party, small p here, any party interested in destabilizing the country would do. But Donald Trump is doing it, and nobody is charging him with destabilizing or attempting to destabilize the country. I wonder why. 888-874-4888. I'd like to know what you're thinking on the subject. You know, pay attention sometimes. Sometimes I'm pretty lucid. And I could tell, like, this thing is not a surprise to me at all. In fact, I did say he was setting up a parallel presidency. That's what he's doing. The fact that nobody commented about it, especially the Democrats, I think is a sad thing that happened. I don't know why they haven't bothered to take this to task and raise it as a major issue. Trump is openly defying tradition, and he's openly expressing disgust for the status quo. He's saying, I can do whatever I want to do. You don't like it? Tough noogies. That's your problem, but not mine. I am minding my business, and I am taking care of my business. That's what he's saying. 888-874-4888. Gene from Maryland, you're starting us off today.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Eutrice, for letting me lead things off today. Thank you, and you're welcome. I think that it's important to differentiate the difference between a president and a person who is not president, whether he's the past president or whatever. The president gets his power from Article 2 of the Constitution. And Article 2 is very specific in where those powers come from, what those powers are, and the duration of those powers, and how those powers change hands. Now, it's important to realize that the president is the executive who controls that power from the Oval Office, and he is in charge of all of the executive agencies. He's in charge of the budget. He's in charge of the tasking and the path of the country. Now, regardless of what Donald Trump is doing out there, making noise, television interviews, all kinds of things, he does not have the power of the presidency. And I think that needs to be made clear, particularly when you point out that he is operating a parallel presidency. He's not. He's making noise. Now, what that noise is doing to the people who are listening and the people who are following him and those who don't follow him, that's a different question. But I think for the sake of your question this afternoon, we need to be clear on what it means as a practical matter to be the president. Again, those powers come from Article 2 in the Constitution, and they are very, very clear.
Okay. So, no, there's no argument about that. But I'm not debating that. I'm debating the fact that nobody has said, or nobody has raised the question, that we have a former president who insists on continuing to be president, and that it needs to be made clear he ought not do that.
Well, he does have the right under the First Amendment to free speech. He does have the right to spend money that is not public money in any way that he sees fit. He does have the right to freedom of association, to talk to newspaper reporters, television and radio reporters, and others who wish to put a microphone in front of him and listen. So I don't think that the Democrats really have anything, at least in law, that they could use to point to and say, hey, this is a violation. It's not. It might be stupid. It might look very foolish. I'd agree with that. The tradition that you spoke of is that every president that leaves office is quiet. He doesn't continue to dip in and meddle in the affairs of the office once they leave. Now, sure, that is outside of tradition, but tradition is not law.
I agree with all that you're saying. I don't disagree at all. It still comes down to Trump knows what he's doing, Biden knows what he's doing. And of the two, Biden can lose a heck of a lot more than Trump. In fact, in some instances, he's already lost more than Trump. And Trump is the former president. So what do you do to contain this contagion, if you will? You can't have a former president saying, screw you to your face. Never mind what precedent is, never mind the law and the concepts of the law and whether he's breaking the law or adhering to the law. The fact is he's being nasty and vindictive and in a way is threatening continued democracy in this country by behaving the way he is.
Well, I think a good parallel to that is the ACLU represented the KKK. As nasty and as horrible the kinds of actions and speech that this group has done over the years, the ACLU thought it was important enough to defend their right to say it. So,
yeah,
you know, with
it.
Your question about
I get all of that. And I'm still saying Trump
is
wrong.
Should the Democrats
and
do?
Something ought to be done to curtail this because we have already seen the consequences of that because we're learning that from a general that this siege of Congress involved Trump. We're learning that a lot of things that are destabilizing this country are envisioned and enacted by people who are followers of Trump. Trump cannot be separated and on the premise that he has legal rights and constitutional rights and the right to free speech and all that, he is still doing grave harm. And that has been shown. It's been proven. Now, what do you do? Do you just stand there and let him do whatever he wants to do because he envisions himself as being the permanent president of the United States?
Let me leave you with this. I think the problem that the Democrats have, the problem that the Democrats have is there are too many of the things, the policies and positions that the Republicans in general and Trump in particular have and do that they agree with or simply ride along with that they can't double back against Trump because it'll come right back and point to them in their actions with Nancy Pelosi in the House and Chuck Schumer in the Senate, both of them proposing and passing legislation out of committee and out of the chamber, whichever chamber it is, to move forward to the president. The Democrats are just as conservative as the Republicans in far, far too many cases. And I think that's the problem that they run into.
Well, they're not conservative. They're openly breaking the law and getting away with it. That's how I see it. This is not about whether you're conservative or liberal or progressive. Everybody's doing whatever the heck they want to do, even if it actually disintegrates this institution that is so revered and that we hope will remain intact and the respect for it also remaining intact, but it doesn't look like it. Trump himself is leading the rebellion. And it appears that nothing can be done. Everybody's kind of wringing their hands. And the more we know, the less they do about it. So we'll see.
Well, again, I say they're down with it.
I thank you so much for your thoughtful analysis today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air right now.
Good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
I'm okay, Ed. How are you?
Yeah, well, you know, me and the son. Still here, still hanging. They're well developed now. Pertaining to the Orange Man, to be totally honest with you, I think you're feeding too much into what he's doing or what he's trying to do. This is what Trump has always done. There's an old saying, you don't fight fire with more fire, you fight fire with water. And the more you feed Trump, the more you inflate his ego, the more you increase his already narcissistic, grandiose idea of himself, the more fuel you give him and the more fuel you give his supporters. I believe two things are going on. Number one, Trump is doing Trump. He's a self-promoting ignoramus. He's a narcissistic, insane individual, in my opinion. And he's doing what he has done throughout his career. He's pumping himself up and making himself, or trying to make himself, the soup du jour, or the course of the day. And Joe Biden and the Democratic Party are in a quandary. They are a leaderless ship. As I've said before, Joe Biden is a feeble old man. And this country is in great turmoil. We have, whether you believe it or not, a raging pandemic, which we get mixed messages about every day. We have an impending crisis coming on at the end of August with mortgage forgiveness about to expire. And many people are going to be looking at homelessness. Many people are going to be looking at dire straits as far as being able to pay their mortgage or pay their rent, because all of that stuff, all of those payments are going on the back end. They're not being totally forgiven. Like I said in the beginning, you should have done in the first place by executive order. And there are a myriad of other problems that the Democrats have to face to keep this country afloat. And there's always the Asian tiger, which is China, which is on the horizon and looming to become the new world power. So with all of that being said, I don't think Biden or the Democratic Party have time to deal with this idiot. I mean,
it may not be Biden and the Democratic Party who will do the job. It could be Democrats who do the job. It could be people who cherish the law, and they see this is untenable. This is not right. It is going to wreak destruction in this country, and it's going to split up the country, which is exactly what Trump wants. But more than anything else, I guess I'm complaining about is that I'm not hearing anything. They're just letting him do what he wants to do.
Well, that's my point. I mean, like I said, you don't fight fire with more fire. You fight fire with water. Let him burn out. I mean, there are a few fanatics that are going to follow this guy from the cradle to the grave, but I think they're few and far between. And looming on the horizon, there are so many crises that this country is going to have to deal with without strong leadership, which we don't have. I just don't think we have the time to play with this idiot and to give him power. The more power you give him, the more perceived power he will have. And that'll be a problem. He'll burn himself out eventually. Like most babies, he'll become distracted. He'll become disillusioned. If you ignore him, he'll go away.
You think so?
I believe so. I've looked at his history. I've known this man since Walden Rink. I've known him since the USFL. I know, since his stint in the WWF. I mean, he's an opportunist, but he's also an infant terrible. He's a joke. I mean, he'll do this as long as he thinks he can get some type of monetary or some type of quasi-political gain out of it. But in the end, he's gone. We've got mounting real problems to deal with, and he's not one of them.
This is going to sound a little weird, but these things that look like, don't worry about it, sometimes explode when nobody expects it and in ways nobody expects. And then there's the mad rush to figure out what happened and then how to fix it. Why isn't this up for discussion nationally? Why is it that Trump is doing his presidential thing? Yeah, I agree with Gene, who started us off today. He can do whatever he wants within the law, but yes. I'm looking at the consequences, the possible consequences of what he's doing.
Well, what I'm saying is that you got to look at it in the context. Look at what we've just been through: the COVID lockdown, the economic crisis, the world crisis, the unusual weather. From droughts in one part of the world to floods in the other, fires that spread smoke over 3,000 miles. I mean, people are exhausted. They are exhausted with crisis after crisis, from mass crisis to varying crisis to global crisis. And this guy, I mean, he's the breaking point. I don't think people want to deal with his nonsense anymore. They want to get on with the business of trying to suss out a life out of this, what is becoming a hot mess. And I just don't think people have the time for it. Like I said,
I want to believe in what you say, but I just can't do it 100%. I'll give you 50%, but I can't go 100. Yeah. But thank you, Ed. Thanks so much for your commentary today. Robert, you're on the air.
Hello. I've been listening to your show, and I disagree with you completely.
Okay.
The president has the right to freedom of speech. I think that the two gentlemen who have called in have expounded with a lot of common sense and a lot of wisdom. What I sense on your part is a lot of fear, and fear proceeds from the perception that Joe Biden is doing a terrible job, but a deeper perception that he is an illegitimate president. And it is the obligation of every citizen to resist an illegitimate takeover of the power of the United States government. Joe Biden stole the election. 60% of the nation knows it. The 51% that voted for Trump, and even 20%, 15% are realizing
okay.
Hold it
right there. Sometimes, you know, people say things, and they say them as an act of intimidation. I'll make you shut up, and I'll make outrageous statements on your show. Do something about it. Yeah, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of you. I will now ask you, prove what you just said.
Well, all you have to do is look at the audit.
Don't tell me all I have to do.
Yeah, well, you have to open your
I
eyes.
I don't have to do anything. Madam, I'm asking you as the person promulgating this garbage, you must prove it now.
To dissent. And it is the obligation of every citizen.
No. You again.
You're painting Trump in a very, very
made a statement, and I need you, I want you to prove what you just said. Everybody knows that he stole the election. Prove it.
Did. He hung out with a mask in a basement. He's a totally senile old man. He's being controlled.
And all of this proves that he stole the election?
Yes,
you're not making sense.
You're not making sense at all.
You're talking like any one of the rabid people out there who believe what Trump told them to believe. They stole the election. And here you are repeating the same nonsense, completely unable to prove your point.
You asked for a call-in, but now
Here's what we do.
You are not
I announce the number for people to call in if they wish to call in and participate. You clearly believed that you wanted to do just that. But you make, right at the top, you make an outrageous statement that you cannot prove. And that forfeits your right to continue to say anything, because everything you say is predicated on that lie, on that myth. Okay, so he's gone. You know, when you start challenging these folks, they make these statements and they think you're not paying attention, and somehow it will get through. And even if they get only two or three people to believe it, well, they got two or three more than they anticipated. No. You can't come on this program and make allegations like that. And you have no proof whatsoever. And you know you have no proof. And I am not going to dedicate precious time from this program to try and ask you to prove your point. You have no point. You have no point. And until you do, I suggest you kind of lay low for a while and go to the library and talk to other people and see what other information you could gather that you might possibly consider. Thank you. Darold, from Georgia. Darnold from Georgia. Oh, is that there? E from Edgewater, you're on the air. How are you doing? I haven't heard from you in a while.
I've been busy. My AC unit went out and a lot of work to do around the house, you know, down here in Florida. I used to come here for vacations and it was all fun and games. But now when you're living and you have a house and you realize that maybe you should have bought a house with not so many trees and things and grass and all this stuff to have to do. And I don't have money to pay other people to come and do it for me. So I do it myself. And it keeps me busy and it's good exercise. So I got to keep positive about it, right?
Right. But let's get to what you're thinking about the topic today.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that from the time Donald Trump became president, you and a panel of psychiatrists felt that there was something strangely wrong with him and he should be insane.
Let me just make one small correction. I believe this about Donald Trump long before he ran for president. Long before that. Because in New York, we know him very differently from the way people seem to think that he actually is. But we have knowledge of a different Donald Trump.
Right. Well, I lived in New York for 58 years, and not only New York, but Jersey and Connecticut. If you rounded them up, you'd probably come up with about 50 million people that feel exactly the same way as you feel about Donald Trump. And it's warranted and it's expected. And I think it's true, but he's playing a part. He's playing this part, and it's to distract people and to keep them in fear. The ones that like him, his fans, they like people like that because they don't have a life, so they need somebody to cheer for. So they go to these wrestling matches. You know, 500,000 people go to these wrestling things, Nutrice. This is big money. Remember Hulk Hogan? You know the name Hulk Hogan, right?
Sure, I know Hulk Hogan.
Okay, is he the person that he plays in the wrestling ring? Is that the real person that he is?
But everybody could appreciate the difference. Hulk Hogan is in the entertainment business and secondly in the wrestling business. But everybody expects Hulk Hogan to be Hulk Hogan. I'm talking about the presidency of the United States of America. You do not treat it as if you're Hulk Hogan.
Exactly. That's my point. Let's say instead of Donald Trump, Hulk Hogan ran for president, and he somehow got himself elected like Donald Trump did. Now he would become the president. Do you think he would behave like he behaves in the wrestling ring, screaming and yelling? No, he would try to
now
be
you're on to
like
a whole different
Jesse
subject,
Ventura.
And it's
remember, Jesse Ventura was a wrestler.
How are we to know? It hasn't happened. But this has happened, that Donald Trump was president, and post-presidency is behaving as if he doesn't remember that he is no longer president. And the way he is conducting himself and his business, if I could even attach that, it seems to be a direct threat to the order of the country. We should not have to deal with somebody who does not know how to conduct himself as a former president. There are certain things you're just not supposed to do. Never mind freedom of speech and all of that stuff. It's very important. Everybody knows and appreciates the importance of freedom of speech. This is not it. This is a guy bent on revenge and bent on returning to the White House by any means necessary. And he has been given a wide berth to behave like a lunatic. And in so doing, he may be destroying the office and destroying many precepts that this nation heretofore had held dear. That's the problem.
Okay, so now that you've said all that, Nutrice, and made it clear how you feel about this whole situation, don't you think it would be quite suspicious if he suddenly changed and didn't act this way? Don't you think it would be suspicious?
I don't care about how he... I don't care, frankly. I don't care about Donald Trump and what he chooses to do and not do. I'm saying we can definitely see the link between his conduct, the conduct of the party, and the conduct of Donald Trump and his followers. We saw that on the attack. He was there. He was cheering them on, leading them on. Go down there and fight like hell, he says. What president in his right mind does something like that and then gets away with it? Yeah, we have to have some kind of standard somewhere where people say, okay, you did this and did that, no problem. But here is where you have a problem. And he's not supposed to do some of the things that he's doing. I predicted that he was constructing and setting up a parallel presidency. And lo and behold, that's exactly what he has done and continues to do. And we have heard nothing. Nobody seems to object to this, even though it is a direct flaw. He has inserted a flaw in what we used to think of as democracy. So
I'm trying to make a point about something, and before I can get to the point, you take over the conversation. I didn't get a chance to make the point I'm trying to make about the wrestling. You know, you said Hulk Hogan, oh, he wasn't the president. Well, what about Jesse Ventura? He was a wrestler, and then he became governor of Minnesota. Did he act as he was the governor of Minnesota? Was he acting the same way he acted in the wrestling ring? Or was he acting like a normal person?
Yeah, but you're making his persona, I'm talking apples, you're talking oranges. Nobody should
expect. I'm trying to point out that Donald Trump is playing a part.
Why should anybody expect that a former, whatever it is you used to be, you will remain that as an elected official, let alone the top elected official of the country? Nobody would do that. No nation in this world would tolerate a leader who still dresses, you know, in his tall boots with fringes and, you know, the slick back hair. And no, you're president. Act like it. Or you're a former president. Get out. And let the new guy in.
Bill Clinton still remained in the spotlight. Jimmy Carter is in his 90s, and he's still doing things like he's feeling that he was the president.
No. You're stretching the point here. You're stretching the point. Jimmy Carter does not behave in this fashion. Jimmy Carter has respect, and he shows respect for the office that he held.
Yes, Bill Clinton, but Patrice, the point I'm trying to make is you said Donald Trump was insane from the very start, you and the panel of psychiatrists. You didn't say that about Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton or any other president, just Donald Trump. So he has to stay in character, and he's got to keep doing these insane things to keep you nervous.
That's your version. When you say that you have to let a person continue to be the objectionable person that he is, ill-suited for the position that he actually did hold, you lost me. If you're saying that Donald Trump should be allowed to be the sexual assaulter, the alleged sexual assaulter, the guy who has gone bankrupt 6 times, the guy who basically lives to aggravate people so that he could get his own way. If you're saying that, you know, I'll have to disagree with you.
Patrice, it's amazing to me that you have time to spend on Donald Trump with all the trouble that's going on in this world. It's a miracle every day I wake up and put on the light switch and the light goes on. To me, that's a miracle because that doesn't have to happen anymore for us.
Yeah, but
we
that's
don't
you.
Have to have water
that's
coming
you.
Out
I'm
of the faucet
not
and
a
lights
single
going
thing.
On.
That's, I'm not talking nope. about anything that affects me alone or you alone. I'm talking about what affects the nation. I think you could appreciate that. I'm talking about how do we as a nation deal with these abnormalities? And
I don't
within
know.
The context of our understanding of what this democracy is supposed to mean and be. That's what I'm talking about. Thanks for calling and contributing today.
But wait.
We can't be shouting. I don't like it.
I wasn't finished saying something.
Yeah, but don't shout at me. I really don't like it.
But when somebody's saying
goodbye. We'll move on. And thank you so much for your call today. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Idris. How are you doing? The only reason that I'm calling today, because I heard that, but the gentleman before. And I had to answer to your question. But I have to say this. How come the right always think that they win the election? It's just all around the world, the right, if they don't win elections, they always rig and they have been stolen. I don't mean that I don't think that an election was stolen. I didn't vote for Biden. Listen, in Peru, it was the bicentennial yesterday in Peru. 200 years where the right always have the power. Never a left have held power in Peru. So I'm going back to the Bush, to George Bush, when, unquote, he won. Very few times I heard people calling him illegitimate and he stole the election. And let's just face it, he stole the election. That first election, the Bush administration, he stole that election.
But you have to prove that. Where was that proven?
It was proven by the MIT. They did a research, and they said that, especially in Florida, Gore won the election. And that was the key of that election. But let me just go back to your question. The reason that I'm calling is because I have to say this. One of the things that we have to make sure is the Biden administration should not give Trump so much time, because more time you give Trump, it's more attention that he's going to be getting, and more people, they're going to come out to support him. You have to let the system, which will be his former private lawyer and Rudy Giuliani and the rest, to do the work for us. And I do believe, like Ed, not that we have a lot of issues and we should not concentrate on him. No, I don't believe that. But I believe that we have to let the system work out, because I do believe that at the end of the day, he's going to go down, because it can't be that he has like seven lives and nothing will ever touch him. I think he's going to go down, and it's going to be from the people that they used to work for him. One of them is Rudy Giuliani. I do believe that Rudy Giuliani going to bring him down. With Cohen, that already gave the information, and I forgot the other gentleman's name. So we have to let the system do the work, because it will happen. Yes, I understand what you're saying, and I understand what Eve has said, that we have to expect all these things because the man is crazy. And you have a point, that the things that he's doing is driving a lot of people crazy, because how come he doesn't, I mean, he controls the Republican Party. That guy McCarthy, he goes and gets information from him, and that's why he's running the House of Representatives as a minority leader. And he gets all the direction from Trump. But I think deep down, he's going to go down. He will go down before the next presidential election. I believe that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your call today. Thanks. Lincoln, you're on the air and you have some time.
Yeah, hi, Eugene. How are you?
Okay.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
And I think you're not being, I think you've been disingenuous. And I mean that from a pure place. If you look at Trump's president.
Now, you do have a sense of humor, and I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Nothing Trump is doing right now is comparable to the destruction that was wreaked in the attempt to bring about a Trump coup. All the lies they told about the Russian hoax, the death of Seth Rich, which people forget about, the death of Seth Rich, who was really the person who gave WikiLeaks the information about, it wasn't an email leak, it was an inside job.
You are on a whole different track.
No, I'm not.
And okay, you're derailing the subject. Let me go back.
Did you see the debate between Trump and Biden? In the debate, Biden actually said to Trump, who was president at the time, said, look at this clown. That's what Biden said. Do you all remember that? And the newspaper said nothing. Trump was the president, and Biden in the debate called him a clown. So why don't this clown shut up? Did you remember that?
No, I don't.
That's what I'm trying to say, because people look, but they don't really look. And they listen, but they don't really listen. I think it was the second or last debate, Biden called Trump a clown right there in the debate. And no one, because there was such an intent to overthrow him, that anything negative against him was ignored.
Okay, but where is this going? Where is your argument
going? It's going like this. You set the stage.
This happens all the time. This happens all the time.
No, the stage is what Trump is doing now. They set the stage by that great.
So, okay, they set the stage. Okay. What does that have to do with where we are now?
What it has to do is nothing Trump is doing now can be compared to what happened during his presidency when they were about to destroy the country to get him.
That is a moot point. What
it isn't. How could it be? That means anyone
backtrack. What does it do for us to backtrack, no matter who it is, to prove that something happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago? I'm talking about now. What is happening now? And I'm asking the question, why isn't it, these questions, why aren't they being raised now? Why is nothing being done now?
Ignoring the fact that Biden isn't all there. Why? It's so obvious in all of his
interviews.
But you're
not answering the question. It is not about whether Biden is all there or not there. Biden is not inflicting on the country, on the nation, the same burdens as Trump is. There's no question about that. Why can't you deal with the question in play?
Trump topic, Eutrice, you're not taking a journalist approach. You're taking a very subjective approach.
And what's wrong with that?
And that's sad, because you're a journalist and you at all times should
I'm a journalist, and I've raised this question before as a journalist. You keep forgetting to mention the fact I have raised this question. I have predicted that this was what Trump will do, set up a parallel presidency and conduct it as if the real presidency does not exist. And he is making rules. He's continuing to make laws. He's even continuing to appoint people. They're not legally appointed, but he's continuing to run a presidency. And it seems to evade everybody's attention. And I'm saying it's the same thing that we had. I knew this guy for a while, and I'm saying, is it just me? And then the psychiatrist organization and the psychologists came out with their report called Duty to Warn. They were not kidding. This is a professional assessment. And people should take it seriously. I'm not saying what I'm saying because I have a thing against Trump. Not at all. I have a thing for the nation. And I believe that under him, the nation went sideways. And the thing that I marvel about is that it got very little in the way of feedback and criticism. Well, we're out of time. We could always pick this up again because it's a very important subject. I'll go with you and what you want to do, that will be fine by me. But thank you so much for today. Thank you for contributing as freely as you do and for bringing new thoughts to our attention. We'll see what we have to say to each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.